continue our series on God's goodness to us today. And the title of this message this morning is Look What Is Following Me. But we've been looking at Psalms 23. So Psalm 23 is going to come up on the screen. There it goes. So help me out. Let's see if we can do this. See how multi-talented we are today. I'm going to read the first phrase to each verse, and then you read the second phrase. You think we can do that? So, for example, I go, the Lord is my shepherd, and then you'll say, I shall not want. Does that make sense? And then I'll say, he maketh me to lay down in green pastures, and you'll say, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Think we can do that together? Let's try that. Let's begin. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Thank you. You guys did a great job. Yeah. You guys are going to make great Presbyterians one day. No, just teasing. You did a great job. Thank you. We've been looking at this psalm for several weeks now. And by now, this psalm just tells us over and over again that God is too good to us. He treats us much better than we ever deserve, right? I mean, think about it. He meets my needs. That verse, this psalm tells us, he brings rest into my life. He restores my soul when it's tired and weak. He leads me when I need guidance, right? He is with me. He walks with me through every valley in life. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. His anointing is upon me. Right? He fills my cup, not just a little ways, but overflowing. He prepares a meal for me in the presence of my enemies when I'm under attack. All because why? God is good. All God's blessings flow out of his goodness to us. And David tells us that his goodness to us flows out of his mercy that will follow us all the days of our lives. Verse 6, we're going to look at the first part of that this morning. Next week we'll finish the series off. But it says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I wish I can draw and paint like I wish I could sing. I'm the least talented pastor ever, probably. But I wish that I could draw. The only thing I can draw is a dog. And that's just the face of a dog. Because I went to art school for a few weeks, and that's the only thing I learned. But if I could draw, I would draw this verse this way. I'd have a big board out here, and I'd love to be able to preach and draw at the same time. I think that's so cool when somebody does that. But what I would do is I would draw the shepherd, and the shepherd represents Jesus, right? And then I would draw all the sheep, and the sheep represent us. We're following Jesus. And then I would draw two sheepdogs in the back, and their names would be Goodness and Mercy. And they would be bringing up the rear, following us, making sure that if one of us fell in the ditch somewhere or got in trouble, they would start barking so the shepherd would immediately know and come running to help us. Because I think that's the picture David's painting for us here. Do you know that God is always watching over you? There's never a moment where his eyes are off of you, his child. You always have God's attention. Remember, he created you and he loves you. God knows it all. He knows your bad days and he knows your good days. He knows your ups and your downs. God knows every detail of your life. Psalms 145 verse 20 says this, "The Lord watches over all who love him." He watches over us. Not only does he watch over you, but he protects you. Psalms 91:11 says, "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go." He's always there to protect you. He's always there watching over you. It doesn't mean that you'll never go through a valley in life, but he'll be there in the valley. And he'll be looking at that valley and saying, "How can I take that valley and turn it to your good?" He's always there in every situation. It's Isaiah, the prophet, says this in Isaiah 60:10. In the end of the verse, he says, "I will now have mercy on you through my grace." Grace and mercy, sometimes we get them confused or we think they mean the same thing, but they don't mean the same thing, right? Maybe you heard this before, but grace gives us what we don't deserve, like salvation. We don't deserve salvation, but God's grace, he offers it to us. We don't deserve heaven, but out of his grace, one day we're going to be there. Aren't you glad? Yeah, we're going to be there one day. Mercy's a little bit different. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Mercy is not spending a day in hell, because we all deserve to be there. But God, out of his mercy, doesn't give us what we deserve. So Isaiah says, "Now I will have mercy. I won't give you what you deserve through my grace." In other words, I'll give you what you don't deserve. Listen to how David describes goodness and mercy in Psalms 103. He says this beginning in verse 2. "My whole being praises the Lord, and do not forget all his kindness." You see that word kindness? In the Hebrew, it's the word hesed. And one thing I learned from one of my professors in Old Testament, in an Old Testament class, is that anytime you see the word hesed, it means God's goodness. And you'll see it sometimes referred to in different translations as kindness or goodness, but it means the same thing, God's goodness. So when we look at this phrase, he says, "My whole being praises the Lord, and do not forget all his goodness to me, his hesedness to me. He forgives all my sins." Man, I'm thankful for that one. Because sometimes I've done the same thing over and over. And God forgives all my sins that I confess. And heals all my diseases. Saves my life from the grave and loads me with love and mercy. He satisfies me with good things and makes me young again like the eagles. How many youngsters out there, right? You got feeling young today? It's because of God, right? His goodness to us. The Lord does what is right and fair for all who are wronged by others. If you've been wronged by someone, God will set it straight one day. You don't have to worry. You don't try to get even. You just forgive him and let it go. He will take care of it. He showed his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord shows mercy and is kind. He does not become angry quickly. And he has a great love. One of the ways that God really should demonstrate his goodness is by not getting angry quickly and being so patient with his people. He will not accuse us, and he will not be angry forever. Verse 10, he has not punished us as our sins should be punished. He has not repaid us for the evil we have done. Because of his mercy and his grace, right? As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who respect him. He has taken our sins away from us, as far as the east is from the west. The Lord has mercy on those who respect him, as a father has mercy on his children. When I read about the goodness of God, and I was thinking about that chapter this week or a few weeks ago, I couldn't help but think of my grandson, Henry. Because at 3, he is a mess waiting to happen. Like, we can take 2 or 3 containers of toys and put them in the living room. He'll come running through the kitchen, whirl! And he'll say, oh, where are my toys? He'll run right towards them. And then he'll open the lids and he'll start playing. And he'll play with one, play with another. He will empty the entire container all throughout the living room, all 3 containers. I mean, there are toys everywhere. And then he'll head to the kitchen. He'll start getting pots out because he wants to play like he's cooking me a meal. He'll get pots out and he'll start banging. And there's pots all over the kitchen. I feel like all I do is run around behind him cleaning up his messes. Because that's what a toddler does. But I wonder sometimes if that's not how God may feel about us. The only thing is, he doesn't mind doing it. How many messes? And I don't think we realize how messy we are. But how many messes do I create for God on a daily basis that God's got to fix and clean up behind me that I don't even realize that I'm causing? I know you must think that God gets tired of cleaning up behind us. But can I tell you, he doesn't. He never grows tired or weary of cleaning up our messes behind us. Why? Because it is his nature to be merciful and good. And out of his nature, because it's his nature, he will do it over and over and over again and never grow tired and never grow weary. He doesn't get frustrated at cleaning up behind us. And God never goes, you know, I've done this cleaning up all week, Monday through Friday. I'm going to take the weekend off. It's all about me this weekend. I need some time to rest because you have really overworked me. No. Day in, day out, God is there and he's always cleaning up our messes. And he's always there ministering in his goodness and his mercy to us, treating us better than we deserve. So the question needs to be asked, how can I rest in God's goodness and his mercy? How can I not feel stressed and anxiety, but enjoy the fact that God is good and that he's got me and that his mercy continually follows me all the days of my life? Because here's the thing. If you really believe that God's goodness and his mercy follows you all the days of your life, then you don't have to worry. Then you don't have to be anxious. Then you don't have to stress because you know that God's goodness and his mercy will never leave you. It will always be there. When I think of God's mercy and his goodness, I can't help but think about how God deals with sinful man. Out of God's goodness, he left heaven, came to earth, walked on this dirty planet full of sin, into a community of people who had it all wrong about religion and about God and about how to worship him and how to honor him. And yet, he walked and he continued to demonstrate his love over and over again. Even when he was misunderstood and they put him on the cross, he continued to demonstrate his goodness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He died for my sin and your sins. But aren't you glad he's not on the cross? On the third day, he rose again. Our King, our Savior, and his goodness, he continues to demonstrate to us, even when we have been a sinner. One of the passages and stories in the Bible that you might not think demonstrates God's goodness very well, but it really does demonstrate his goodness really well, is the story of the flood. Because right when you think of the flood, you think, how does that demonstrate God's goodness? Well, remember, God called Noah to build an ark, and it took Noah over 120 years to build this ark. And every day, Noah would get out and say, repent and come back to God. And every day, people kept living their lives. And every day, God kept calling to them, come back to me, over and over and over again for 120 days. Even as they saw miracles happening right before their eyes. Because it was a miracle to get that big boat built. It's over 200 yards. That's 200 football fields back to back. Can't even imagine. It's like two stadiums. How? Not only the miracle of building the building, but when the animals started coming. Two lions walking down the road. In front of them, there's two lambs. Wait a minute, the lions ought to be eating the lambs. But they're not. Or maybe there are two chickens in front of the lions. They should be having some chicken meal, dinner right now. Right? But they're not having chicken and nuggets right now. Right? And they watch these animals go in. And yet they keep on living their life. And keep on sinning. And the sins get worse and worse. And yet God is patiently waiting for them to repent. What would have happened if they were to cry out and say, God, forgive us. For Lord, we have sinned against you. And they would have repented of their sins. What would God have done? He would have demonstrated his mercy and his grace. It would never have flooded the earth. Because what did he do when Jonah went to Nineveh and Nineveh repented? God did not destroy Nineveh because they repented to the words of God. Then the greatest demonstration of his goodness is what we see often, the rainbow. Because God said, I'll never flood the earth again. Can I tell you, we deserve to be flooded. But God again is waiting patiently on the sinner. The sinner demonstrates God's goodness probably more than any illustration a pastor or minister can come up with to demonstrate God's goodness. Because the truth is, God patiently waits for the sinner. When God should destroy the sinner for his actions. And yet he waits. Every day God does not return is a day God demonstrating his goodness. His patience. And I keep asking myself, how much longer? Because the day is getting close. We're living in the end times. Today, Israel is on high alert, a sign of the end times. There are a lot of other things I can start naming, but I think you know them. I think you know that we're living in the end times. But every day that God waits, God is demonstrating his patience and his goodness so that one more can repent, so that one more can be forgiven, so that one more can be saved, so that one more can be a part of his forever family. And he waits out of his goodness and his mercy. So how do we respond to his goodness and mercy? I think Psalms 107 tells us the best. Psalms 107, verses 1 and 2, says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. How do we respond to the goodness and mercy of God? Talk about it. Speak out. Say something. Let people know that you have a good God, and a good God has been good to you. And demonstrate and tell them how he's been good to you. You have at least one testimony, and that's your own testimony of how he saved your life, because he demonstrated his goodness to you. When you were still a sinner, he loved you. Talk about it. We talk about everything else. If you get a new pair of shoes on sale, ladies, you'll tell all the ladies, you know, I got these shoes. Oh, they look good, girl. Got them at Kohl's. They're only like $15 on sale. Right? The guys, if our team makes a great play, oh, we come to church, we talk about it, man. Oh, did you see our team, man? We won. Oh, where you see that play, that quarterback threw that ball, and that receiver caught that touchdown. Oh, man, it was great. If we can do that, surely we can talk about the goodness of our God. That we have a good God who does good things for you and for me. I'm sure you heard the story before, the husband and wife. And the wife said, honey, do you love me? And the husband said, I told you I loved you 43 years ago. And I don't think anything else has changed. Knew a man, he's since going to be the Lord, but I remember him telling his wife that. That was not what his wife wanted to hear. His wife wanted to hear, of course, I love you. I love you more as the days go by. I still love you. Don't you think God wants to hear that we love him? Just because we told him we loved him when we got saved doesn't mean we stop saying we love our God and talking about his goodness. Verses 2 and 3 in Psalms 107 tells us what to do next. Has the Lord redeemed you? Speak it out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he's gathered the exiles from the many lands, from the east and the west and the north and the south. When we get together and tell of God's goodness and his mercy, we call that worship. We come together, we celebrate. So what do? We talk about it, number one. Number two, we celebrate God's goodness. That's what Sunday's about. We come together. Today is a day of celebration as we celebrate the goodness of God to us. We gather together. Maybe your version says, let the redeemed the Lord say so. I just like how it says it there. You know, tell it, speak it. We gather together and we share it. We talk about the goodness of God. I like it sometimes because our church is small and we're able to do this from time to time. In worship, I would just say, if God's been good to you, give a testimony in worship. And somebody will stand up and say, God, blah, 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 did this, and blah, 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 God's doing this, and blah, blah. And I always go home and just weep and cry when I get home later that night. Because it always means so much to me to hear you share about God's goodness to you. But we gather together to weep and to share about God's goodness to us. For God is a good God. In Psalms 107, verses 7 and 8, he says this: he led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and the wonderful things he has done for them. Sunday always ought to be a celebration in the house. And you always should want to be there to celebrate, right? Because you're celebrating with the family of God. You're worshiping. You're giving God praise. Number three, give thanks. Anytime you thank a person, you're giving them honor. So speak it out. Say it. Number two, celebrate. Number three, give thanks. Give thanks for his goodness. If I tell Gidget, thank you for the wonderful meal you made last night, then I'm giving her honor. If I tell Dwayne, thank you for opening the door for me this morning, then I'm giving Dwayne honor. If I say, thank you for coming to church with me today, then I'm giving that person honor. When you thank God, you're giving him honor. I imagine when your kids were younger, you didn't just teach them to say thank you one time and that was it. I imagine you did it over and over again to help them learn to make saying thanks as a way of life. Many times when our kids would get something, we would say, they'd get it and we'd say, okay, now what are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to say? And they'd say, thank you. And they give that person thank you. You know, if they knew them, they might give them a hug as well. But we teach them over and over again. Anytime they were given something, there was one man in church sometimes would give them a little money. And every time they give them a little money, we go home and get them little thank you cards. And they would write thank you notes. Because we wanted them to say thank you. With God, it's not just a one-time thing. We say it over and over again. You've seen the thing about art. You've seen the picture that's before of the Puritan. I think he's a Puritan, but he's a really old man. And he's got his hands folded. And he's sitting at a wooden table. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And there's a cup of water and a cup of bread. And he's bowing his head, giving thanks for the bread and the water. Like, did you ever look at that picture and say, you know, do you really have to do that for bread and water? I mean, it's not really like a whole meal over there. It's just bread and water. But no, this guy is giving God thanks for what he has. He's just bowing his head, giving him thanks. I think it's one old preacher one time said this. He said, I could look at that picture really hard, and I could hear him mumble something. And he mumbled, bread and water? And Jesus, too? What more could a man ask for? Right? So many times we look at what we don't have instead of focusing on what we have and what we've been given. We have a lot to be thankful for from the goodness of God. Now, those are the three things, but let me just give you a secret before we close. Focus on God's goodness in the darkest days of your life. Let me say that again. Focus on God's goodness in the darkest days of your life. When you feel hopeless, choose to think about the one thing you know about God, and that he is good. Jonah said this in Jonah 2:7. He said, when I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. The answer to hopelessness, the answer to the darkest times in your life, is to turn your life and start thinking about the goodness of God, the greatness of God, his love for you, his faithfulness to you. Corrie ten Boom, the survivor of the Nazi death camps, once said this: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. I think one of the greatest lessons I learned from my mom was to give God thanks in the most difficult times of life. I can remember when our dad left us for several years. And during that time, my mom would get up. Well, she would begin her, she worked the night shift as a nurse. So she would go in at 11 and get off at 7. She wanted myself and my middle brother to continue, and my youngest brother as well, to continue going to the school we were going to. It was a Christian school. So she worked out a deal with a Christian school if she could drive their bus. You ever see my mom? If she could drive their bus and pick everybody up. And if they would let her kids go free if she did. They agreed because they really needed a bus driver. Because believe me, Christian schools are just as bad as public schools. We got the same kids. And she would go around. She'd get off work, off nursing. And she would get off at 7. She'd go pick everybody up, take them to school. We'd ride in the bus. She'd drop us off. She'd get home about 9 in the morning and from all that. And then she would clean a little bit and cook dinner and have it ready to go. And then she'd lay down for a few hours. Then she'd get back up about 2 and head back to the school to pick us all up from school and take us all back home. And then she would come home, feed us dinner, get us cleaned up, get us bathed and all that stuff, and let us play a little bit. And then she'd lay down for about 2 hours, sleep a little bit. Then she'd go back to work. She'd do that Monday through Friday. I don't know how in the world she did it. But she'd get on the bus, and we'd be on the bus, and she would start singing. She would start singing, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings." She could sing about as good as she could sing, probably like I can. We can't, you know. But she would start singing, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." And I'd be sitting there saying, "Mom, be quiet. You don't have any blessings to be thinking about." But she would be sitting there singing. Or she would sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And she would sing. And she would praise the Lord. And it always taught me, I never heard her once complain. Never heard her once whine. Never heard her once talk ugly about my father. All she ever talked about was the goodness of God. I can remember at one point, we didn't hardly have enough gas to get to where we were going. And the tank was on empty. And she says, "I don't know if we're going to get there, Lee. Let's just pray because we know God answers prayer." And so she started praying as we were driving. And the car ran on fumes all the way where we need to go and all the way back. It taught me a great lesson in life. The lesson is this: you can't be anxious, stressed, or worried if you are giving thanks. You can't do both at the same time. You can either do one or the other. So when I get stressed, when I get anxious, I will begin singing and worshiping. Because I know when I get my eyes off of this world and onto Christ, then the stress is gone. The anxiousness leaves. Can I tell you? You've got surely goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. When you got goodness and mercy following you, that means when you go in the valley, goodness and mercy goes in the valley. When you're going through a hard time, goodness and mercy is following you. It's going to catch you. It's going to get to you. You can't outrun it. God's goodness and mercy is headed your way. You just hang on a little bit. You just pause and worship him and praise him because goodness and mercy is going to overtake you. Not because you deserve it, but because of God's mercy to you and his goodness to you. That you will have a testimony before long of God's goodness and mercy. And when it happens, tell somebody. Celebrate with God's people and give God thanks because he is a good God. And what people need today is to hear about a good God because they hear so much bad news all the time. They will be, you'll be like a magnet. You will attract people like crazy because people want to hear something good. And you have a lot to share. Let's pray.